This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Boomer and Geo on The Fan and the CBS Sports Network.
All right, perhaps it's Boomer and Geo, but not today. The boys are off. They've got a long, extended three-day weekend. That's when Al usually goes hollow. We are live from the Sunwave Gas and Power Studio, and I am thrilled to be sitting in the studio for the first time in almost 4 months. It has been a long time. We are talking mid-March since I saw these parts. That having been said, Al Dukes, he's lazy. As Christopher Mad Dog Russo once said, he's back in Bradley Beach. He's going to watch the sunrise, if it's not up already, over the Atlantic Ocean, over his palatial deck overlooking the beach in Bradley Beach, New Jersey. Al Dukes, how you be?
Oh, hi, Jerry. I wouldn't say it's a palatial deck. It's a deck. It's not palatial.
But you're by the way, Jersey Shore.
The sun is already up. Sun is 5:31 sunrise here in New Jersey at this time of year, Jerry. So the sun is up. People are walking 4th of July weekend. People have three-day weekends. Although I always prefer, like, I'm doing the three-day weekend on the other side.
I agree. I like the Monday better.
Because Friday already has, like, an awesome Friday feel when you're at work or whether you're working from home. It's like it's Friday.
100%. Like last night we had baseball, and of course we got rained out by a monsoon at about 6 o'clock, but I had it scheduled until almost 9, and my wife says to me, she goes, you know, you're doing the show on Friday, you're working, isn't it a bit late? I said, yeah, but you know what, Thursday night, Friday morning has the weekend feel to it already. Get through it, no problem, fired up for Friday, then you got the weekend. And for you, you took off Monday because you think this is just going to knock the hell out of you.
No. What I wanted, Jerry, was when the show was over today after 5 hours, I wanted to be like, all right, three-day weekend. I wanted to get into the mood. I wanted to crack some beers. I wanted to stare at people going to the beach.
Are you a creep? Like, do you have the binoculars looking for the girls in the bikinis?
Great question, Jerry. If anyone's looking to buy me a housewarming gift.
Do you have, like, military-style scopes? I don't know why I could see that, because hey, they're fun to have, number one.
Yeah.
I mean, just if you want to bird watching, whatever.
Yeah.
But where you live, like if I walked into your condo, and at some point I am going to come down there because
me and
my wife did get you.
Invite you.
We did get you a housewarming gift,
ooh,
which we haven't brought to you yet because I feel like you don't want us there.
No, I do.
Because of what's
want
going on,
we would be allowed to come in. I'm not afraid of coronavirus, Jerry.
I know you're not, but I didn't know if you would want us in your place.
All right, yeah, fair enough. Come in.
Perhaps this weekend we will be
all
down
right
there. Then,
oh, this is exciting.
But if I walked in and I saw your place in Matawan, all good, and I saw where you overlooked the field where you were the Matawan hero.
Right.
If I walked in and I saw either two things, a telescope or like these big binoculars right on your deck looking towards the beach, my first thought would be creep.
Yeah, right. I have like a big plant on my deck, and then I get into an alpha camouflage outfit, and I sit behind and just binoculars at the bikini girls. No, Gina actually said to me one, you know, because we can look to the beach, and you want to see the boats. You want to see, there's occasionally whales even off the coast of New Jersey, dolphins. Gina said, "I'm going to get a pair of binoculars." She said, "But I'm not leaving them here. I'm going to take them home with me every day."
See, she knows. She's not stupid. She knows. I, all kidding aside, and this, there was nothing negative about this, but it was an observation Al made when he first walked in to his place, and he was there for a day.
Yeah,
he just said to me,
Boy, these girls wear a lot of spandex around the beach area.
A lot of spandex. It's a lot of cheek bikinis, Jerry.
Yeah, that too. That too. Have you been into the guys? And they're like the body pressing and they're all strong. Are you watching them too or no?
Well, yeah, because they're muscular guys that come jogging by and they've got their tattoos, their abs, their muscles. They're all greased up. Occasionally you get some European tourists that are in their mankinis.
Which is
no but good. Listen... except for 4th of July weekend. Men can wear their American flag mankinis.
Ugh, I'll pass. Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. So, yeah, I might get a pair of binoculars. That'd be a great housewarming gift if you and your wife want to get binoculars.
You are not getting binoculars from us. I can promise you that.
I told you my friend Paul had a telescope growing up. My friend Paul, who I used to do the Boring Podcast with. And he accidentally one day was a child, mm-hmm. and he had a telescope, and he was up looking, trying to find the stars, and as he panned down with the telescope, he saw his neighbors, the woman who lived across the street, in a wide-open window, undressing.
What a day for Paul.
And he said he
never forgot.
He said he checked every day after that, and it never happened again.
Yeah. Well, perhaps it shouldn't have happened again.
All those man hours he put in.
No good. I do think we are very representative, though, of the hosts of this show, Boomer and Geo. You got Boom's face on your shirt, and I am wearing the Flag and Anthem shirt, as Geo certainly loves that style.
Yeah.
So we are all good. You know, we'll have a lot of laughs, obviously, today with a lot of stupidity.
A lot of chuckles, Jerry.
But a little bit of baseball to actually start the show, because it is 4th of July weekend. We are now a day away from official practices to begin. But did you see we touched on it in the warm-up show about Garrett Cole throwing 100, blah, 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 blah. Did you see the video, though, of him working out at Yankee Stadium and throwing to Aaron Judge? I think Aaron Hicks was in there, too. And it looks awesome, and it's got the feel of baseball actually coming back. I don't know if you saw it or not, but it looks really cool. And the fact that he's throwing upper 90s, 100, this notion that, you know, to get amped up to do your job, to me is a joke. These guys are baseball players, and for much of their lives, they played high school games, little league games, even college games, where, let's be honest, no one went to them. And so I understand the idea of wanting to pitch in front of 50,000 people, but I think a guy like this, who clearly has kept himself in baseball shape, had a throwing program during this pandemic, this guy's going to be electric when the season begins. And the video yesterday, I thought it was just really cool. You really get the sense that we're very close to actual baseball coming soon.
Do you think any of these guys who play Major League Baseball now were terrible in Little League?
Terrible, no.
Terrible.
Hit their stride later? Yes.
Like someone's going right now, you know, I played Little League with Garrett Cole. He was terrible.
I don't know about terrible. Could I see a kid, though, that really wasn't into it until maybe he was 10 or 11? Absolutely. I mean, there are stories specifically, and only because, you know, I do the Rutgers basketball broadcasts. There are many stories, and I'd have to go back and look at all my charts and research that I've done, where guys didn't start playing basketball till they were 12 years old, and here they are at 19 on full scholarship at a Big Ten program. I think depending upon what your upbringing is, I don't know about terrible, but I could certainly see guys not picking up or becoming that next level athlete until they might have been 10 or 11 or even 12 years old. That is possible. Here's what I don't think. I don't think there are any baseball players in Major League Baseball that were the Al Dukes of their Little League that went a full season without one base hit.
I batted zero the one year, Jerry, but I was
zero.
A terrific fielder.
Well, I understand, but you had no base hits in probably a 14-game season.
Right.
None.
Yeah, I had no hits the one year in particular. I did hit the ball.
It doesn't count.
Sometimes, Jerry, they probably put the shift on me, which is why I didn't get many hits.
No one did the shift in 1981.
You got to hit them where they ain't.
I don't think so.
When did the shift come in? Someone had to think, you know what? This guy always pulls the ball. Let's just move the whole field over there.
So it's interesting you bring that up because over the last several years, that has become customary. I mean, every team does it now. And whether you like it or not, it does work. There have been photos that have been put out on social media of teams doing certain types of defensive strategies in the 40s and 50s.
Now, is that right?
Not everybody picked up on it, and they didn't do it for every left-handed batter. But it has been done in the past. But for an everyday occurrence, I would say, 5 years maybe? Is that about right? Maybe 4 or 5 years we've seen it now where every team does it. And it does work. What I don't understand is why guys are either just hard-headed, pig-headed, or stupid. Why they don't just, and I don't even say button the ball, but just slapping it the other way. And just get, because if you do it once or twice, the shift is over. You don't know what the guy's going to do.
I'm reading here, Jerry, that I Googled it on Wikipedia, that they used the shift against Teddy Williams. That okay. was a long time ago.
Yeah, sure. 40s.
You're right, 40s. Yeah. His head is frozen now, Jerry. And
we discussed this.
We used the shift against him. All right, I thought the shift was a thing. Like somebody in like the 90s was like, what if we all just went to that side of the field?
Yeah, no, I think this is something that's really been in the last 5-6 years, but has been done in the past in different varieties.
So did the Yankees do a split situation here where some guys worked out at Yankee Stadium, some guys were at that Don Bosco prep in Ramsey, New Jersey?
Well, that's what
I saw some
like.
Of that, too.
Well, you got to remember, too, with spring training, you've got a lot of pitchers that need to get their programs in. So it makes sense to me that it's not all taking place in one facility. And I don't know. It's a brand new ballpark. I'm sure they have amazing facilities underneath the stands, but I don't know exactly what they have. I remember, what was it, years back when Craig did the whole batting practice thing against Mariano Rivera. Wasn't that in the batting cage at the stadium, I think?
I think so.
And I think most of these new ballparks have facilities indoors, but I do think it's a matter of how many mounds do you have, what kind of work guys got to get in. So it does make sense if guys were at Don Bosco yesterday that they're utilizing other facilities. Does not surprise me, I would say that. A lot of work that has to get done because you've only got, today's July 3rd, and opening day is 20. Think about this. Opening day for the Yankees, if indeed it's the Nationals, would have been 3 weeks from last night.
Oh, they haven't announced this yet, Yankees Nationals?
I don't think
thing?
So. I don't think the schedule has been announced. I think it's been reported that it'll be Nationals-Yankees in Washington on July 23rd, which is where all that Cole Scherzer talk came
yeah.
from. But I don't think, if I go to MLB.com, I don't think there's a schedule out yet. I haven't seen one.
All right.
Clearly you haven't.
I haven't, Jerry.
Right. So
I saw a headline, but that was as far as I got.
If I look MLB.com/
Google it.
I am not Googling it. No. I'm MLBing it because I'm going right to the source. I have nothing. Right now, if you go to MLB.com and you go to the schedule, they have Friday, July 3rd schedule of the postponements. And the Mets today would be at home against the San Francisco Giants. How about that?
How come I didn't see any Mets working out? How come I didn't see Jacob DeGrom throwing fastballs like I saw Gerrit Cole?
Maybe they didn't cover it the way they cover the Yankees. I don't know. So, yeah, you'd have today maybe you'd have Yankees in Toronto against the Blue Jays. And I'm sorry, Mets-Giants was last night. You'd have Mets-Padres today at Citi Field.
If this was a real season.
Yeah, and that's what's on the MLB site. So nothing's official. They have not released anything yet. But we're working towards it. And while I thought Yankees-Mets DeGrom-Cole would have been spectacular to open the season, Cole Scherzer's not too bad either.
And I saw Hal Steinbrenner, I think he was on the Meredith Marokovitz podcast or something that they're doing now.
Sure.
He's saying that that he expects to see some Yankee fans in the stands this year, Jerry.
I agree. I think we will too. As we have covered earlier, if you're just joining us on TV, we covered in the warm-up show. I do think that we'll see 10-20% fans in the building. I think at some point within whether it's within the 60 games or playoffs. I think you will see, as long as the numbers of coronavirus stay where they are, they stay flat and they don't spike here in the area, I think we could see 5,000 to 10,000 fans at a Yankee game. I do. And Citi Field for the Mets. I absolutely think that's possible.
Will they still serve sushi down below? Or is that out?
I would think that would be out. Well, so, all right.
All sushi?
Now, I saw last week, based on that, which is why I'm going to say no. So I saw Borgata was getting set to open on Monday.
Yeah.
And I got the email about it, all excited, book a room, we're back, blah, 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 blah. And then I just saw yesterday that Borgata decided we're not going to open because of the restrictions. A, I don't think they were able to serve drinks. B, I don't think they were able to serve food. And C, I don't think smoking was allowed anywhere in the building.
Yeah.
Which I know most people would probably love. But if that's the case, and if you have restrictions like that, like you can't serve food and you can't do things of that nature, I don't think the sushi bar is going to be open for everybody to just grab and take.
Yeah, I did see that Atlantic City. They're like, oh, yeah, no, the casinos can open, but you cannot dine indoors. So if you want to get something to eat, you have to go outside. You cannot smoke, which casino people love to smoke their cigs.
Love to smoke, yes.
They love their cigarettes.
Yes.
You cannot have alcohol on the casino floor, which
right.
That didn't make any sense to me. Why not?
Well, I thought I understand the whole idea of the glasses and the mixed drinks and all that, but why not allow them to serve packaged goods?
Or bottles of beer.
Well, that's Package goods. Oh. You bring the bottle, you got to open it yourself. And then this way you don't have to worry about germs.
Yeah, they should say to you, listen, when you come to Atlantic City, enjoy. You will not be able to smoke. Please bring your own bottle opener if you want some beers.
Well, how about we go with twist off?
I could never do a twist off.
Why?
It rips my skin.
Your shirt. It's not that difficult.
And then what if I ruined this Boomer Esiason t-shirt by twisted a beer cap around it?
I think you'd be fine. You're not going to rip your shirt. Let me ask you this, though. I know you're not a huge gambler.
No.
But if, like, I love playing.
You think?
What?
You think?
Yeah, I know. Well, no, you like the penny slots. No
I
risk,
like roulette.
No reward.
I like roulette, and all I do is I pick black or red.
Do you really?
I do.
So your idea, then, is to take $100, play roulette for 3 hours, and at the end of it, have $100.
My fantasy. But I would never have the cojones to do this because I'm not a risk taker, unfortunately. Or fortunately.
I've heard.
I would want to take my 401k out and put it on black or red.
No chance you
would. And either be rich.
Ever do that.
Or broke.
Yeah. Well, look at it this way. You have time to rebuild it.
What a high that would be, Jerry.
That would be. Would you be able to not do it again,
though?
So let's say you took your $1 million out of your 401k and you doubled it to two.
Yeah.
In your head, then, you could take it to four. Would you do it, or you'd be
no.
good? You'd be one
no.
that would, you could walk away.
I'd have to walk away.
Could you imagine your heartbeat racing as that ball's spinning around? Like, there's your future.
And it at the end, when it goes slow and it bounces
in black and then out of black.
And then it goes into that green one. Like, oh, the green. I forgot about the green.
I've soured on roulette because that's what we used to play all the time. And, I mean, it's a fun game, and everybody can do it because you pick a number. It's not that difficult. But we had a night where Kim and I were, this was in Vegas. This is, guys, got to be 15 years ago. We were in Las Vegas, and we had one night where every number it seemed like we put out, we would put on the board. I think we were playing six numbers every time. You know, the whole stupid thing with the birthdays, the anniversaries, whatever. And we had six numbers. And I swear to God, Al, we couldn't miss. And I remember walking out of there saying, this is awesome. Not only is the trip paid for, we're going to make some money. Went back the next night. And not one number came out. And I was jumping from table to table because you just had the feel that, you know, it's like whenever you play cards. The cards are either good for you or they're bad for you, and there's very little in between. So, like, oh, we'll try another table. I think we moved to six different tables, and we got killed. And it was like from that point, I'm like, what am I doing? Six numbers. There's 36 numbers on the table. And then on top of that, when we were having a tough time, I said, you know what? Enough of this. Let's go thirds and maybe try to win some back. And then you would get the green come out.
Right.
The double zero. I was like, you know what? It's enough. It's enough.
But roulette, to me, I feel like I can't screw up anybody else's game. Like, if I go to a blackjack table or poker, whatever it is, I feel like if I'm hitting when I'm supposed to stay or staying when I'm supposed to hit, that I'm going to screw up somebody else's cards. I'm going to get punched right in the face.
Blackjack's, well, so at Mohegan's Sun once, I was there with my buddy Dallin Cuff, who now works for the ACC Network. We went there after a Columbia game. We had those Friday-Saturday trips. We went from Brown to Yale, and we stopped at Mohegan Sun on the way. And he was on a tear. I was exhausted. He couldn't lose. And at one point, in the middle of a shoe, a guy walks up and plumps his money down. So the guy next to Dallin says to him, sir, if you don't mind, could we just finish this shoe, and then we'll get you right in. And the guy goes, no, I want to play now. And the guy goes, sir, we're in the middle of the shoe. If you don't mind, we've been here for 3 hours. Hi, Whimsy. We've been here for 3 hours, if you don't mind. The guy said, no, I want to play now. The guy punched him on the side of the head, got up, walked out, got arrested on the way out. But it was the only time I've ever seen that. So it does happen. That's a little different about screwing things. Yes, exactly. Side of the head.
Right.
Down he goes.
I'd be like, 17, hit. The guy, that's my card.
You can't hit on 17. You wouldn't
do
that.
What if you get a 3 or a 4?
Okay, 21. Great. And what if you got a 5? You're out.
Then you're out.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.